put our hands together one more time for the Lord this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where would we be without the Lord? Amen. It's a very big privilege of mine to be able to introduce our speaker for this morning. He spoke just a few weeks ago in our youth service, and I was very impressed. He's just very sensitive to the Lord. He is himself. Brian Ragnart is going to be speaking here this morning. Those of you who don't know who he is, he's Sarah Clock, our very own Sarah Clock's husband. She went out to California, and he stole her from us, and she stole him from there and brought him here to us. So I've... Brian is a one-of-a-kind character. I can't say I've ever met anybody that I consider to be closer to myself than Brian. We're kind of kindred spirits. He's likes to be a goofball and stuff like that. But Brian really loves the Lord, and he really loves our young people. He began to teach in our junior high boys class a few months ago and made an instant connection there. And we're just really glad to have Brian here. If you could come this morning, Brian.
Well, I never like to call anybody a liar in church, but those are way too many nice things to say about someone like me. But I am really privileged to be here. You can be seated this morning. I've been told we've been here about a year now, and I've been told multiple times, you know, I've been confused as Carl, and I tell people I'm not that good looking. So, you know, that's a tough row to sit on over there for even just a half an hour, you know, to even compare with, or sit on the same row. So I'm really blessed and honored to be here. Thank you to soon-to-be Bishop Grant for this opportunity. Pastor Roy, thank you so much. And obviously, Pastor Carl, thank you for, trusting me enough for this opportunity, which may or may not be bad judgment on your part. So, well, we'll find out soon enough. I'd also like to just say that I have the greatest wife in the entire world. I think she's probably doing something to care for my son right now, so I know she's probably hears this in the nursing room. I also have the greatest son in the world who I've been blessed with. Being a father has totally changed me. It's opened up my eyes to some areas of my life like, man, you sure you should have a kid? But God has continued to bless me and allow me to keep him alive, and so I have done my best to do that. And I also have to say this, I've said this a couple times, but, you know, I ventured from California to Wisconsin, and a lot of people wonder why. They ask me, and, oh, California, isn't that awesome? And, you know, I really have been blessed here and have really enjoyed my time. We've been here for just about a year now, and the only way I could have made it outside of God and my loving wife is my incredible in-laws, who have been more like real parents to me than anything. And so I just have to say thank you to the Clocks for their continued love of my family. And I have to embarrass them a little bit. So I am really, really honored to be here and take it as a, normally I'm not nervous speaking. I usually, you know, can handle myself pretty well. But, you know, something about speaking on a Sunday morning to this great church has me, you know, my knees wobbling a little bit. But I know that God's going to use me today, not because of anything that I have in my natural being, but because God's going to move, and I'm just going to get out of the way and share the simple thought that I have today. So if you wouldn't mind just raising a hand real quickly and asking God to clear everything out that's in me, everything out that's in you. God, I pray that you would remove any distractions, God, any carnality, God, anything that is this world, God, from us right now. Lord, our week that's gone by, our yesterday, our day before. God, I pray that any troubles or trials going in our life would be removed right now, God, that we would receive your word, God, that we would be prepared right now, God, to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say tonight right there. I cut myself. I apologize. I'm not usually a morning preacher, but, you know, that's okay. So I'm going to talk to you guys. So first of all, I have to warn you, and I try to do this every time I preach. I'm not a very deep preacher. There's many more people out there who will give you like the depth and the Greek and the, you know, Hebrew behind everything. And I'm not that person. So just let you know, it's going to be in English, you know, for all of it. Maybe hard to understand English, but it'll be in English. But one thing that God, I think, has given me, and I don't say this proudly or anything like that, but I'm a simple-minded person who, when I read the Bible, I get simple ideas out of it and simple principles that change my life. And so I'm just going to share some of those simple principles and simple thoughts with you today. And hopefully you don't think it's too elementary, but that's what how God uses me, and that's what you're going to get. So if you can have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 3. We're going to read a few verses here. We're going to be reading a parable that Jesus told. It's a very familiar parable to many people who have grown up around church. And so I'm just going to read through it. I'm going to reference it a bunch going forward, but we're just going to read through it one time to get things rolling. Starting in verse 3, referring to Jesus, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came up and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So I'm going to be talking about the title of my message. I don't think I gave it to them, but they don't have to put it up. You're not going to want to remember it. It's "I'm Just a Clump of Dirt." This is in prayer for this service over the past couple weeks. You know, I kept telling God, you know, I'm probably not the person they should have up there. It's teen week. They should probably have somebody better to come. And then, you know, I just kept thinking to myself, you know, God, I'm really not much. I'm just kind of like a big pile of dirt. And coming across this verse, I kind of learned that there's a bunch of different kind of dirt, that there's not really just one kind of dirt that's bad. But there's a lot of dirt out there. So a little bit about me. Currently, I work for a company called Weedman Lawn Care. I'm a sales manager there. And I've been there for about 7 months now, and I've learned a lot about dirt. I've learned a lot about grass. I've learned a lot about weeds. I've learned a lot about fertilizer. I learned a lot about soil additives. None of this, don't tell my boss, I truly don't care about at all. I really don't care at all. Dirt, grass, who cares? And we sell lawn care to people. If anybody's interested, let me know after service. Anyways. But outside of trying to convince people to pay money for the service we offer, I truly, got it. Is this being recorded? It is probably. Oh, man. I really don't care much about grass at all. And so it's a challenge for me. You know, I really love what I do. I love the people I work with. It's a great job. But I really don't care much about the stuff I'm selling, which is hard. But, you know, I've learned, you know, about the different types of grass out there, good grass, bad grass. There's all sorts of, you know, variations for growing in the state of Wisconsin because of the harsh weather, whether that's the extreme summers with either the rain or the droughts we have sometimes, or obviously the winters, which are just lovely. They truly are. They're fantastic. But, you know, I've learned, I probably could list off over, you know, 25 to 50, I'll forget some, but probably I could list up to 50 different types of weeds, which when I graduated high school and then college, never did I think that that would be like the depth of my knowledge. You know, the one thing I'm an expert on is types of weeds, but I truly do. And so whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. The other thing is soil, just not so much different types of soil, but soil conditions. I've learned about, you know, what you can grow grass and what you can't when there's too much, the pH balance is off and you have to put some lime additives in it. This is all stuff I know you guys are just like, what is he even talking about? That's how I feel every day, right? So every day I'm trying to figure out, why am I talking about this stuff to people? But it's what I have to do to, you know, pay rent or whatever. So, the other thing is, you know, probably the craziest thing that at my job that I didn't know existed ever, There's a guy there. His name's Brad. And he has his PhD in turf management. Is that even a thing? I have to ask myself that every day. You went to school for like 10 years to study dirt. And not like, oh, yeah, we're going to learn, you know, sample site, you know, all this, what's, you know, what was there before, you know, all the fossilization of things. No, it's not. You're studying how to grow grass. That's pretty boring. You know, if there's a PhD in watching paint dry, I think it's very similar to that. There's all this stuff about dirt and growing and all this stuff that's in my brain that I really don't know why it's there, but it's there. So when I was studying and came across this passage, it kind of clicked with me, maybe based on my experience, maybe based on other things, but just something really just kind of jarred me. And, you know, I grew up in California. I grew up in the Central Valley where, it's not the beach, nor is it L.A. I don't surf all day long. I'm right in the middle of a valley. There's nothing fantastic about it, except for that I'm from there, but that's about it. So that's it. But it's an agricultural area, so I always considered myself, you know, somewhat knowledgeable about farm life and, you know, growing. And, you know, the Central Valley alone can, like, feed the entire country. We have so many crops there and just produce so much of it. So I was kind of, you know, I grew up in the city, but I always felt like because of that, you know, I was a little bit country because I knew all these kinds of things. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and I am not country by any means at all. And I do not know enough about trucks or tractors or anything else for that matter. But, you know, I grew up around a lot of it. My parents back home, they grow, they have a peach tree, they have an apple tree, they got, you know, all sorts. My in-laws, they have a nice big garden that they're growing in. And so I've been around growing things, I think, a lot more than, you know, some people. And so I say all this to tell you that I think I know a little bit about dirt, which is not impressive by any means, but that's what I feel like I know. So if that's any bit of credibility, it's all I got as far as the topic. So what do all these things, you know, my both sets of parents have gardens. I grew up in an agriculture community. I live in Wisconsin, which has farmland everywhere, a lot of dirt. You know, I work for a lawn care company. You know, what does this all have in common? Well, dirt, and that's it, just dirt. Every single plant life is different, but dirt is really what has in common there. So, you know, I thought about giving you guys like a really in-depth explanation of the parable that Jesus told. Really just, you know, like I said, I'm not really in-depth person, but I was going to go real deep. But then as I continue to read, you know, thank goodness, Jesus explains it just a few verses later. So that worked out for everybody, right? So we're going to talk here, if you just want to jump down in chapter 13 to verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And this is Jesus explaining what he was talking about. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground, he is who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces a hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. So I think Jesus gives us a really good description of, you know, he's talking about different types of, you know, the soil there or the ground where the seed was laid. And I think he does obviously the best job of explaining it. Nobody's going to do a better job. But I am going to go through each of these and discuss them just for a few moments about the different types of dirt and just kind of what Jesus was explaining, just expounding a little bit on it. So the first type of soil, we'll call it, that Jesus referred to was, he called it the wayside, or basically a road. You know, going back to, you know, any knowledge of farming or anything like that, you know that just pouring seed out on the Beltline probably isn't going to grow anything. You don't really have to have your PhD in turf management to figure that out. It's common knowledge, right? You know, but when we think about what does that represent? What is Jesus talking about here? What is he, when he talks about somebody who the seed goes on the wayside and the crows come, it talks about the birds coming and eating it up. You know, we talk, so first of all, let's talk about the seed for a little bit. You know, the seed, you know, kind of generically is the word of God. You know, the word that Jesus was speaking, and he was referring to people who either receive it or don't, and the different types of people. And so just kind of generically for a little bit, we're just going to think of the seed as the word of God. And I'm going to get a little bit more into detail about that later on. But just in general, for when we're talking about the soils here, we'll just say the word of God. So we all know people who maybe we've brought them to church or we've talked to them about God, or maybe you were this person at some point in your life where the word of God somehow entered into your personal space. And you totally just let it fall off of you. And you wouldn't let it penetrate you. You were rock solid. No word of God is getting into my life. I'm not about that. That's nothing I want. I don't want that around me. And the seed came. Maybe it was from a family member. Maybe it was from a preacher. Maybe it was from who knows what it came from. But a word of God, you know, entered your space and landed on you. And because of how you've lived your life, because the hardness in your heart, your knowledge or, you know, or lack thereof maybe of what you thought God was. Maybe you believed in God. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a bad experience with God. Maybe you grew up in a type of religion and all of a sudden, you know, you turn your back on that. For whatever reason, the seed just bounced right off you. You had closed yourself so much to God that the seed had no way of penetrating and producing a crop. So I'm hoping that that's none of the people here tonight, but, you know, if you're a visitor or you've been here for a few weeks, this might be you. You might be the person who has closed themselves off to all things God. You're only here to please somebody that brought you. You're only here for whatever reason, just out of, you know, you're dreading even listening to my voice right now. And that's not uncommon, so don't feel bad. But you, for some reason, and it could be some, you know, for what may seem as good reasons, you have closed yourself off to all things God. And, you know, I know that there's people here that were in that point of, they were at that point in their life at some point, right? Anybody here can witness to that you were closed off to God completely? Okay. Just making sure. So we all know that that happens, that there is a time in our life where we are completely just rock hard, like concrete. I say cement, which apparently I get made fun of when I say that, but cement. Okay. You know, just like trying to throw, you know, seed on the highway. It's not going to grow anything. Nothing's gonna produce from that. And so, you know, as much as a preacher can, you know, try to tell you about the word of God, try to tell you about the plan of salvation, that seed's just bouncing off the rocks and the birds are swooping it up and taking it away so that the people in that area will never see nobody will be fed from that seed. The next is the rocky soil. You know, it is dirt, so there's something there, but it's got so much hardness built into it, crumbled up into it. It hasn't really been turned over, hasn't been broken down. And there's still these chunks that are in it. You know, it talks about the seed going in it, and it's really like a shallow soil, like a top soil, where the seed may grow for a moment, but there's no way for the roots to get deep down in it, so it can't really grow into the crops or the fruit that it's supposed to be. Now, you know, I view this as someone who is, you know, searching for God. You know, somebody who's receptive to something. You know, maybe they're going through a trial in their life. Maybe they're you know, something bad's going on. I mean, it could be a variation. Maybe they have addictions. Maybe they come from a broken home. Maybe they've been abused. But they are receptive to something. They're looking for something. You speak a word of God into their life, and they will hear you, and they will even act on it at times. You know, they may come down to an altar. They may, you know, receive the Holy Ghost. But there's so much junk just filling up their life. There's so much debris preventing the roots of that fruit, of that plant, from that seed to develop and to grow. And if that person doesn't clear that out, then it'll be a continual cycle. You know, I've been there too myself, I think, at times where, you know, I'm, you know, seeking God, I'm going through a trial, and I want God to do something in my life, but, you know, he's like, hey, I'd love to produce this fruit in your life, but, man, you got some stuff you got to clear out first. There's no room for this new ministry to grow in your life. There's no room for this new anointing to flourish in your life. There's no room for this blessing in your life until you clear some things out. And so I think that's been a lot of us at times, you know, we kind of, maybe even just for a day or a moment, we allow things to just kind of fill up our life, our, you know, we're dirt. So, you know, kind of fill it all up to where the roots of whatever blessing God wants to bring into our life cannot grow. The other one is the thorny weeds. I think the King James Version refers to it as, you know, thorns. And another translation I read calls it weeds. You know, both are about the same thing. I'll probably refer to it as weeds. Now, again, going back to my profession, where I work, at my main job is to control people's weeds, right? That's the whole thing. We're called weed man, for goodness sake. So you better be able to get rid of weeds. But, you know, weeds are really difficult plants to get rid of sometimes. There's some out there that really will take over an entire lawn and just kind of, again, I'm sorry for talking about lawn care, but it is what it is. So you're kind of stuck at this point. So, you know, the weeds, they can choke out any plant life that is growing. It takes away the resources, whether it's water or nutrition in the soil. It soaks up all that. And many times it will choke out plants. And so, you know, Jesus is talking about these thorny weeds where it's decent soil. The dirt is pretty good. But then as the plant starts to grow, all these weeds that are around it start to just deprive it, to choke it out of everything it was trying to establish. And I think this is probably, you know, this one sometimes is probably the harder one I don't know. It's the most confusing to me because, or maybe I don't understand it enough, but because it's good soil. It's somebody who's hungry for God, somebody who wants to do the work of God, somebody who wants to be used, somebody who wants to go out and, you know, maybe be a missionary someday, wants to go out and be a pastor someday. You know, you young people, you want to do something for God. You know, you're good soil, you're hungry, you're doing everything you can. But then when that seed starts to grow and you think that things are going great and things are going, you know, you're on fire, you're coming back from camp, things are awesome. The problem is you have these weeds in your life that begin to drain and choke away anything that was growing in your life. And it'll take time. It's not a quick thing. It's not a clean cut. You know, it's a slow depreciation of nutrients and depreciation of energy or passion or fire that you have or desire for the Word of God or the desire for the things of God or the desire for the supernatural slowly and slowly starts to be choked away or sucked out from you by things that are in your life or people that are around you. They slowly start to suck away everything that you thought you were going to be, everything that you were going to turn into, everything you were going to produce in this life and for this world started to be sucked out of you. And that's a scary place to be because it's hard to identify that sometimes because it's, you know, when you're a sinner and you're just living a filthy life and you're doing all sorts of stuff and you don't have a care, it's pretty obvious to look in the mirror and say, yeah, that's why. That's pretty obvious. But when you're living for God, when you're faithful and you're doing all these things, you may not see the things that are around you that are soaking up, that are depreciating the nutrients in your life, the blessings in your life. And I think that one's probably the hardest of them all. I think it's just more difficult to identify because some of those things may be family members. Some of them might be friends that you're hanging out with, some places you go, things you watch, things you listen to. And you may not see it coming, but it's slowly, slowly choking out your spirit man inside. Now, the fourth one is the good soil. Now, good soil is good soil, right? It's nutrient rich. It's got no debris in it. It's probably been used before, and so there's some nutrients that have come in from the plant that was there before. Man, you just sometimes good soil, you don't even have to water it much. You know, it's going to produce a plant or a fruit tree or whatever. No matter what, there's not a lot of work. The seed drops, boom, it goes. The nature may bring the rain and the sunshine. There's not a lot of work that has to happen if the soil is prepared and it is good soil and there's nothing getting in the way. Now, I think that that's probably a good chunk of us here. I to be completely honest, I probably bounce at different times between the weed one and the good soil. You know, just being completely transparent. You know, I always feel like I'm doing what I should be. I'm faithful to God. You know, always trying to chase after more from Him and studying His Word. But, you know, sometimes I get a little distracted. Sometimes things in life start to deplete me a little bit. And so I probably bounce personally back and forth between the two of those. And so, you know, that's the question is, though, how do we prepare ourselves to be good soil? Because I believe that you can be any one of these. We'll talk about the bad three, whether you're the road or the rocky soil, or you are the soil with the weeds in it. You can be any one of those and be turned into good soil. And there's, you know, the master gardener who is going to do that for you. He can come into your life and rid things. What I want to do is kind of do a gut check for a minute. I'm going to give you like 5 seconds to figure out which of these piles of dirt you are. Are you the hard as a rock, you know, road? Are you got a little bit of soil to you, but you know there's things in your life that you got to get rid of internally? That's some chunks of rocks that are in there. Or, you know, I'm doing everything I can, but you know what? There's some things choking out. Or if you're the good soil. There we go. There it is. That was the devil. Oh, you know what? I don't want to give him that credit. It was bad battery. I don't want to give him the credit. Anyways, so I want everybody to just take that moment, figure out where you are. Try to be completely honest with yourself. Where you're at. You don't have to tell anybody. I'm not asking you to, you know, write me a letter and tell me exactly where you're at. But I want you to take a moment. We're all going to take that moment together. I think I know where I'm at. I might be in between two. I'm working on it. But try to figure out where you're at. Can you really reflect? And are there things in your life that you need to get rid of? Are there things in your life around you, friends, family, situations that you need to remove yourself from? Or, you know, what's scary is that you're as hard as a rock and that no seed's ever going to plant into your life. If that's you, you have some serious thinking to do. So what can we do? I talked about all of this can be good soil. All of you, no matter which level you're at, can be turned into good soil. The problem with that is that if you've ever tried to create good soil out of these types of scenarios, there's a lot of hard work that has to be done. So let's think about this just for a minute. And this is going to be amusing myself because I think it's really funny to think about. So if some of you are a hard rock, how are we going to turn you into soil? Let's think about it. I've driven the Beltline every day for work. I see bulldozers out there. I see these big earth movers, you know, that pick up chunks of cement and pick it up and throw it over, and it's all just to prepare the dirt for laying new roads. Some of you may need some heavy machinery in your life to turn into good soil, unfortunately. Fortunately, though, there is somebody that I know who can turn any life around. They can break apart anything that's in your life. It's going to hurt, though. It's going to hurt. And I don't want that to ever be misguided. It's going to hurt a little bit because, I don't want to say physically, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to break that concrete up, to break up the cement, to break up all that stuff. It's going to take a lot of manpower. It's going to, you know, when we're thinking about the physical, it's a lot of labor. So it may for you feel like a lot, but for God, it's a blink of an eye. He can change you like that. He can turn you into good soil just with a breath. So for some of you, you know, that are maybe you have some rocky areas or you just kind of, you're compact soil, you got a good top layer, but there's some things in there. There's a service we do, and I don't know, probably most of you have heard it. It's called aerating the soil. And this, it's basically this machine that pokes holes in the ground and pulls plugs out. You know, it doesn't totally turn up the soil completely, but it just pulls these holes out. And I kind of always imagined, and this is probably just weird, but you know, what if one of our people like fell underneath that? That would hurt a lot, like really a lot. And so I think about, what if God had to do that to my life? What if God had to aerate my life? Basically pulling out these little plugs of my life, or me as a person, you know, not having to, you know, start from scratch, but man, that seems like it would hurt more than, you know, the whole bulldozer. That it's like getting those little needles poked on you. It seems like that's sometimes more painful than anything. I'd rather get punched in the face than have needles poke me. You know, so it's, that one seems kind of like there's some work that needs to be done. Not a whole lot, but we got a lot of work to do. And so God's going to have some pull some plugs out of your life to get you ready to receive the seed that he wants to plant. And then we have the weeds. Anybody own a weed whacker at home? Okay. Anybody ever like accidentally hit their hand with the weed whacker? Okay. No, I'm the only one? Man, that's embarrassing. So a weed whacker will, you know, I kind of wrote that just because everybody can visualize it. But, you know, really, you know, a weed whacker will cut the weeds down, but, you know, they're still there. What you really need to do is pull those weeds out. You need to yank them out of your life so that they can't return, so that they can't grow. And I start trying to imagine what would be the weeds, you know, in our lives that God could clear out for us. So, you know, I don't, for me, it's, you know, I could go into my personal life and talk about the things that, you know, that it would be for me. And you could probably think about, you know, okay, if I'm really honest with myself, these are the things that I need to remove from my life. These are the things that don't belong anymore. And it's not that I'm a bad person. It's not that I haven't been doing what I need to do, but it's the things around me that are just continually pulling away. And so you literally have to remove those things from your life. There's no halfway thing about it. You can't just kind of know, I'll hang out with them less than I used to. You know, if they're a bad influence on you, if it's somebody that's tearing you down, if we're talking about people for a minute, because there's a lot of people out there that tear us down and we allow them into our lives, it may be family. And that may be one of the hardest decisions you ever make. But sometimes you have to remove those people from your life. You still got to love them. You still got to pray for them, but you know what? If they're tearing you down, your soul is more important. Getting yourself to heaven is more important than anything else. So, and that just seems hard because it's not even, a lot of times it's not something, you know, it's just not an internal thing. It's an outward decision, you know, where we have to make that decision, and we can't do it halfway because it'll just continue to come back. And weeds just spread, they spread like weeds, you know, it's terrible. Once it starts, it goes and goes and goes, and it can all of a sudden get out of hand. But if you would just take the time today to remove those from your life, to make that decision, I promise you, your life will be better for it. Now, so the final soil is, again, talking about what you need to do. It's good soil, so you just need to be ready and eager and faithful at all times to receive what God has for you. Now, you know, you can do this by, you know, whether it's in prayer or being faithful to the house of God or to the work of God, or, you know, sacrifices in your life, giving of not only, you know, finances, but sweat and blood and energy and all that. Those are ways to just keep yourself good as good soil. Now, the other thing that really caught me, I probably am theologically off base, so I am going to tell you ahead of time that this is just an opinion of mine. It may be wrong, or the way I'm viewing it. So I have to warn you ahead of time. I only did 1 year of Bible college. I should have done all four. But I met Sarah my first year, so I was like, yeah, that's good enough. So I probably should have finished, though. So maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, well. It's too late. But, you know, Jesus talks about the soil, the planting the seed, and hopefully it produces fruit. And every time I ever read this scripture, there was like a, you know, A plus B equals C. I was missing B for some reason in this equation here. Because when I would think about, oh yeah, you know, plant the seed, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be this plant that grows. Well, no, I'm the dirt. I'm not the plant. I don't get to be this nice, decorative plant that gets to, you know, everybody looks at, or I feed people. I don't get to be that. That's the word of God. The seed is the word of God. That's what gets the glory. That's what gets all the admiration. And so that when I was studying, it kind of just hit me that oh man, there's all these crops. I'm feeding thousands of people, all this, blah, blah. No, I'm still the dirt. I still am a pile of dirt. Now, I don't want to, you know, tear you guys down too much, you know, say you're all a bunch of dirt. You know, I don't want to say that, but think about it. What can dirt become in God's hands? Think about it for a minute. I know you're all trying to race through the Bible. Let's think of some examples. Let's try to beat them to the punch. I'm going to give you the obvious ones. So there's a story in the Bible where Jesus takes a clump of dirt and mud, which gets kind of gross here. He spits in it, right? He mixes it up and rubs it on this guy's eyes who is blind. And then he goes and washes it off, and oh my goodness, he can see. Now, it's probably the spit that did more of the miracle, right? But God used, because that's God's spit, that's pretty miraculous stuff. But the dirt, God used dirt. I don't know why he used dirt. I don't understand it. Maybe I could have figured it out, but it's just, even if I would have found a good explanation, good commentary on it, I still probably would have not understood why, you know, me myself, you know, understand why dirt? Why not just rub on his eyes? Why not just heal him right there with your word? But something about dirt, God liked to use dirt. And then another, which is probably more, you know, important or, you know, miraculous, is the creation of all mankind. We truly are, and I was saying it jokingly, that you guys are a bunch of dirt, but really, you are, and so am I. We all came from this pile of dirt that God molded in his hands and turned into this miraculous creation called humanity. And to think of what God can do with just a little bit of dirt is truly, truly miraculous. And so I say all that to not tear you guys down and call you dirt, but to remind you of what you can become in the hands of God. Now, I talked about the seed was kind of generic when we were just talking about the word of God and, you know, all of that, but the seed that I want to talk about today, I want to be kind of specific, and we're going to just look at Mark 16:15 for our seed for today. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the seed that God wants to plant into your life today. Now, I talked about the soil and the plants and all that stuff for a while just to kind of set this up to hopefully help you prepare yourselves for the seed that God wants to plant to your life. Now, I know this is for the young people, you know, it's aimed towards the youth, so I'm going to talk to the youth specifically for a few minutes. There are a lot of roles in the kingdom of God that need to be fulfilled. We have like 6 billion people on the planet, I think. I don't know if it's got up to 7 yet, but it's like 6 billion people. If I'm not really good at math, so I'm just going to guess. But if there's one pastor here for, you know, 400 or 500 people, we probably need about 1 billion pastors, or at least 500,000. And there's not 500,000 out there right now. We need missionaries out there that aren't there right now. There are places in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus. And God's given us a seed here today to plant into our lives, to turn into fruit, to feed people. Fruit feeds people. He plants this seed so you can go out and feed somebody the word of God. And it can't be taken lightly. I know my personality is to kind of have fun and joke, but this gift from God, or maybe this beckoning from God, cannot be taken lightly. And I think at times we do get kind of caught up in church life a little bit. And I know I do too, or even just our own life. And maybe just for a moment we forget, why are we even here? Why do we exist on this planet? I'm just a pile of dirt. What can I offer to this world? You can cultivate the word of God being planted into somebody's life. Somebody consuming the supernatural. Somebody receiving the Holy Ghost comes from you being good soil. When Pastor Grant preaches into your life, when Pastor Carl preaches into your life, what do you do with that word? Does it get choked out by weeds? Does it get caught up by the rockiness and the hardness of your life? Or does it just bounce right off of you like nothing and get consumed by the crows of the air? What are you doing with the Word of God in your life? Are you treating it with the respect and the acknowledgement that it deserves? Because we get it every week. 3 times a week we get it, if not more. The Word of God continually fed into our life. Seeds planted continually into our life. Are we soil that receives it, or are we soil that pushes it away? I think there's people in here that are ready to receive what God has for us. So I believe that there are people here who need to understand that you are to become a pastor. You are to become an evangelist. You are to become a teacher. You are to become a missionary, an apostle, a prophet for the next generation. The generation that may not even, you know, walk yet or talk yet. You are the representatives of God to them. And if you don't start to prepare yourself as dirt, as soil, to produce the Word of God for the next generation, this world is, it seems to be lost now. It will forever be lost. If somebody doesn't stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to prepare myself for the work of God. I'm giving up of myself, clearing things out, giving up on everything that this world has to offer me so that I can do the work of God. So the Word of God can grow in my life so that I can feed the world. There's a hungry world. Now, I know that there are people out there, and I work with, you know, people who aren't saved, and I try to be an example to them every day. And I know I can't go a day without being an example to them. Because if I show one day that I'm not on fire for God, if I show one day that I'm not always looking for to be committed to God, that I don't want to go out drinking with them after work, that I don't want to go out and hang out late into the night with them, because that's not the life I want. I have to fight that continually. Now, I think that this is probably, if the musicians want to come actually, I asked you guys earlier to, you know, identify yourselves as what soil you are. What type of dirt are you? And then I want to talk about what God, and I challenge the youth, you know, become something great. God has a calling on your life. And in all my preparation for this and everything I was trying to come up with, I kept coming back to one thing. And it's been heavy on my heart is faith. And I don't know why, it just kept going. Even as I was preparing, the word faith kept coming up to me over and over and over. And I finally figured out what it was. Is, you know, as dirt, there's not a lot I can do. As dirt on my own, there's not a lot I can do. As a human in this world, there's not a lot I can do for the kingdom of God by myself. But in God's hands, I can conquer all things. In God's hand, that vision that was spoken into your life, that calling that was put into your life, that maybe you've wavered on or you've doubted on, and you've wondered, God, when is this going to happen? Faith is the key. You have to continually be faithful to God, continually allowing him to work over the soil, to continually plant seeds in the soil, just like any farm where, you know, it's every season comes. You need to make sure you're ready for when that season comes. Because I feel like there's something soon, very soon, is going to happen here at Calvary Gospel Church. And as an entire youth group, as a church body, if we are not prepared to spread, if we're not prepared to be the soil so that God can plant into our lives the salvation message, death, burial, and resurrection. World. I'm one of those people today, and I believe there's hundreds of people in here who want to do that as well. But we've all got to make that choice today to clear things out, to prepare the soil, and to receive the Word of God, which is go into this world, share the gospel, share the good news, every day doing something to help save one soul out there. Now, I hear stories. The church I attended was a pretty big church, and we had a lot of big-time preachers come through. And, you know, I always heard these stories about thousands being saved in one service. And I say this with all due respect and just acknowledgement to the work that they've done. That's great and dandy, but we're only here to save one other soul. If you can save one other soul, you have fulfilled enough. You have done enough. Now, I don't want to set the bar too low. I want to see millions saved and billions. But if you live a whole life and do everything you can for God and you just help save one other soul, one other soul in heaven at the end of this all, man, you're going to get your crown. The angels are going to be just applauding you. One other soul. And I think we can all think of somebody right now in our lives who needs some Jesus. They need Jesus. They might not even realize it. They may be the hard rock soil, but you can help bring them in. You can help reach out to them to break away some of that with your love, with your being a friend to them, with sharing them the word of God, maybe in small bites. Maybe don't bang them over the head with a Bible, but they need to be fed. And you're the soil that's going to produce that fruit that will feed them salvation. And I think that's why for the young people, I know that, and maybe it makes real good sense to you and all that and fantastic, but I had a tough time understanding that as a teenager myself. And, you know, to understand the impact that I can have in this world, you know, I'm almost 10 years removed from being a teenager. And I think you never want to go, a lot of people when they get older say, yeah, I wish I would have done this when I was younger. I just, you know, I don't want to live a life of regret. But there was probably some things I could have done a little bit better. I could have been a little more committed. I could have been a little more outgoing. I could have been a little bit more on fire. I could have been a little bit more faithful. And what if that would have meant one more soul? And I don't want to say this to put guilt, or I'm probably talking to myself more than anything, to guilt myself or to have regrets. But man, if it would have meant one more soul, that's a lot. It's a whole lot. So my challenge or call to all of you today is to be ready. Because God is here this morning to plant that seed into your life. And we all have to be ready to receive it. So today, maybe we're clearing house today. Maybe we're cleaning some things out. Maybe we're doing some gardening this morning. But I believe that there's some of you here who are prepared to receive that word today. That you have been going through life, doing everything you know. You've been faithful. You've been committed. You know your word. And God wants to give you that word today. He wants to give you that vision today, that dream today, that calling, that anointing today. And I think this is a youth group here who's ready to receive that. I think there's some adults here who are ready to receive that call of greatness. Greatness doesn't mean 1,000 souls. Greatness means one soul. If we could all stand. Now, there may be some of you who, I think I'm talking to two groups today. I think there may be some people here who have never encountered a spiritual awakening in their life, who have not encountered the power of Jesus Christ. If that's you today, if this is your wonder, maybe you've been here a couple weeks or whatever, and you're wondering, like, okay, that's great, but you know, I got a lot of things in my life. I don't have the Holy Ghost. I haven't been baptized. I don't have all these things. Well, today's your day. You are fresh soil. Oh, that's the best stuff. That's the best. And so if you need the Holy Ghost tonight or today, or if you need to be baptized, this is the place for you. But probably the majority of the people in here are here to receive a word from God. And I know I gave you something pretty specific, but it may be something different than that. You may have been seeking God for something in a situation in your life, and you're prepared, you're ready to receive it, and God's going to speak it to you today. God's going to plant that seed in your life today to produce fruit for whatever situation you're in. And so all I'm asking is for you to prepare yourself. And that means a lot of things, I know, but you can't really get into the details. It's too much there. But you just got to do it. You just got to do it. The things in your life, you got to prepare for that one soul, for that calling that God has in your life. God called me when I was 15 years old, that I knew I was supposed to do something for him. And it was a long journey, you know, some ups and some downs. But I knew, and I'm still going to be working on myself. It's a continual, you know, just like farm, like I said, it's continual season after season after season until I'm laid to rest or called up on high. I will continually prepare myself to share the gospel with this world. So if that's you tonight, I'd invite you down here to come and prepare yourself to receive that word of God into your life that you have been seeking, to confirm some things in your life, or to break away the junk that you've allowed to clutter up your life, the debris in your life. God wants good soil. He needs good soil to plant the seeds of salvation into your life. And if that's you tonight, I want you to come down here and receive that. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, I want you to come down to my left. If you want to encounter what God is really like, what this Jesus is like that you've heard about, that you've read about, you can experience that today. You can have your life changed today. There is a calling that God has been trying to place on your life. There is an anointing God has been preparing you for. And today is the day you receive it. God, I pray that you would remove the things in my life. I repent of my sins, God. I repent of the things that are in my life that I allow, God. Lord, I want you to clear me out, God. I want you to change me, God. Lord, if it's things that I like, the things that I don't like, God, I want you to remove all the things that don't belong, Lord Jesus. Make me new today, God. I want to be that good soil that you can plant that seed into, Lord Jesus. Our hands across the building. I know those of you in your pew, you might feel ready, but there's some people down here who are hungry. If we can all just pray right now, lift our hands. God, I want you to move in this place right now. God, I want you to move in this place. I want you to change somebody's life, God. I want you to touch somebody today, God. Lord, help them work through the things in their life. If you want to come down here, I think it's all right if we all come down tonight, today. If we all come down and lay hands on one another, we all come in and mix together so God can plant his seed tonight. Oh, yeah.
My Savior, my Lord and my...